American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day to you. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, January 7th, 2005. And holy cow, is there a lot of people who not only listen, but follow what I say, and will call me on it if I screw up. Please, 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 for the love of God, no more email showing me lighters on watches. Yes, it's true. I now know that truly you can purchase a watch that has a lighter built into it. I do not need any more email. I'm being swamped. The BOP3 server showed up at my house today with a knife in his teeth. It was terrifying. So I've got, I'm begging you. And I got another piece of information curtailed to me because, of course, I'm answerable to the Internet because it is the Internet who has decided to sponsor me throughout my entire endeavors of broadcasting unregulated media, therefore making pornography for the young minds and distributing harmful matter to minors and anything else that I may care to be charged with as time progresses, Section 129, what have you. So I got an email back from a lizard, and he said, and I'll just FYI this message. I was talking to a friend of mine who's from Russia. And when I asked him what lumshavok translates to, he told me that it roughly means noodles, as in the food kind, and is commonly used alone as a slang term for pulling the noodles over my ears, as in bullshitting someone. That's from Lizard. So it has absolutely nothing to do with making your head hurt. Of course, I could just say it's like shit, right? And then, you know, shit's transferable to everything, so I'm like, could be using the word lumshavok in relation to head pain because someone bullshitted you and therefore it's head pain, so I'm not really wrong. No, I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong. I'm sorry. I had someone explain to me that's what lumshavok meant. So for further notice, make sure you realize that lumshavok does not, in fact, mean thing that causes my head pain. In fact, what it means is noodles. So, just so you have that well in place, and you know, if I screw up like this, I'm sure that I'll get called on it, but I am not above reproach all the time. I screw up constantly and often. That's how I know I'm learning and growing. These are things that, of course, our culture has tried to destroy, and that, you know, you go to school, you fail an exam, and then, you know, you fail out of school and you're a loser because you got something wrong. We cannot progress unless we do things wrong. This is why I quite often change my mind, opinions about things, because I gather more data. More data is assimilated, the more accurate your opinion or idea will be. There's nothing worse on this planet than people who just, you know, take a steadfast opinion and, you know, like, oh, we're going to go to Iraq because there's weapons of mass destruction. We're going to kill until we can't kill no more. Well, we don't find any. Well, keep killing. Okay, well, you know, you do what you got to do, man. But me personally, I just admit when I'm wrong. And if that says, well, that destroys your credibility, well, I don't really care about my credibility rating. What I care about is accuracy. And if my intelligence is more important than my credibility, then what do I care? Eventually, the intelligence will show itself for what it is. So, I got some feedback from London, which is really cool. Hi, Sean. Just thought you'd like to know a word from inside the UK. God, these crazy Anglophiles using English. Just thought you'd like to know a word from inside the UK about the ID cards. You quoted an 80% approval figure. Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. 80%. Apparently, you're all a big fan of this 51-segment ID card they're going to be handing out in 2008. The kind that you get a $5,000 fine if you don't agree to sign up for, or a $1,000 fine if you happen, or that's a £5,000 fine, or a £1,000 fine, or something like that. It's a boatload of money, okay? They really lay it into you. It's one of those, I get lost in translation somewhere, but, you know, bottom line is if you don't sign up for the card and you don't tell them you've changed ideas, you get fined really, really heavy. Very, very bad. Anyway, he goes on to say, I really have no idea where that came up from. Oh, you mean somebody in a newspaper is just conjuring stats? 80% of the people in England like it. You should too. Yeah, in the new America, here in the new world order, where the drug is consistency. Consistency is key. Telemedicated for everyone. Yeah, I got that off my live journal. Can't remember the guy's name, but I think it's a great term. Telemedication, you know, it's going to be everywhere very, very soon. Coming to a Teletubby. Oh, wait, they're already there. So he says that this 80% spec is completely wrong. I have really no idea where that comes from, because the ID card's pretty much messed up, a pretty messed up idea, and it isn't all that popular. Yeah, well, no duh. You'd have to, oh yeah, they really like the idea of killing their kids in England. You know, absolutely, that's a great plan. 80% in favor of it. No, I'm sorry, not high enough to believe that. I wonder if the figures they're quoting is anything like the figures they quote for the approval of trying to get the Olympics to come to London. All over London, all over the London Underground, which I'm guessing is the subway, I'm guessing, there is little signs and stickers telling you to text, that's SMS text, to this certain number if you're in favor of the London Olympic Big. Number one, boy, texts are a reliable method of gathering data. Slash sarcasm. And number two, there's only a number for approval. Don't agree? Don't call. The numbers are meaningless without a counterpoint. And that's totally true. You know, how long has it been since we actually have held our media accountable? You can bet that Dan Rather, if he were to get up and say, I was wrong about Lumshavok. And now the guy's, you know, boom, he's out of there. And he's off to 60 Minutes to go, you know, run around and toe the corporate line. Somebody told me once that Dan Rather actually got his rise to fame after Kennedy got shot and he turned into a yes man. Ooh, I don't know if I'd buy that. I don't know if that's true, because, I mean, Dan Rather's been all over the world, and he's done a lot of really horrible, horrible wars, so I respect Dan Rather, and I think that, personally, well, my whole take on the Rathergate issue, which I think is the biggest gong show ever, I would say that I actually think Dan Rather is, in at the end of the day, when we're tallying up experiencing points, I'd say that Dan Rather would fall into the good guy category. You know, he's a good guy. He's not a bad guy. So I got faith in Dan Rather. I've been wrong before, but in this particular case, I have faith in Dan Rather. Also, other information I got from Gattacaland, I mean London. I'm not sure if this is the right channel to send this information, but here knows. Here goes anyways. I got this forwarded to me, you know, through server, whatever. Did you guys know that in the UK, you need a license in order to watch TV? It's true. Every TV, tuner card, person, and VCR is required to have a television license. I guess they don't want unlicensed people getting drunk and watching their TV, thus putting many innocent lives in grave danger. Plus, for some reason, if you have a color TV, it's £121, and a black and white TV is only £40. Okay, if this is true, and, you know, I'm sure I'll get an ocean of email saying this is either true or not true, but I'm going on the faith of the listener here. I guess black and white TVs put much less strain on the infrastructure because they don't suck the color part of the air. Yeah, no doubt. There's also a discount available for blind people, I'll bet. They have vans that go around and scan houses with licenses for TVs. In fact, we catch over 1,000 people watching TV without a license every day. And you cannot get jail time or be recycled for it just yet. There's a £1,000 fine for not having your listener's license. Yeah, see the website for yourself if you want. TVlicensing.co.uk. And that's from Screwy One. So, I mean, it seems to be pretty legit. I mean, I can't really say that. I've heard of this before. I don't know if I heard it as a joke or what, but if that's true, could someone get back to me on this? I must admit, I haven't done a lot of background on that. I find that so unbelievable that I'd claim it to be a joke. I can't imagine why you need a license to watch television. It's not like it's a specific media that, you know, is transmitting. It's absolutely nuts. I don't know why you would need that. The website that you go to for the TV licensing, which is TVlicensing, all one word, .co.uk, it looks pretty regular. If someone could check that out and report back to me, and if it's wrong, then we'll kick Screwy One off the net. But if it's right, then wow, you know, what a bizarre country that is. And speaking of bizarre, you know, I didn't really want to do a news story on this, but I'm going to do a news story on this. Anyway, I'd like to talk a little bit of my opinion about Bill Gates. Now, I'll be the first one to state that Bill Gates gets a hard time, okay? Bill Gates, let's be real here, the guy makes software, okay? That's all he does. He doesn't make landmines, he doesn't make weapons, he doesn't make anything like that. The guy makes software, and he's in this for the money, okay? The dude wants to make some money, and he makes software. So I don't think that Bill Gates is the devil. I don't think he's evil. I don't think anything like that. As a matter of fact, if we want to talk about who's evil and who's the devil, I mean, we can just take a quick look at the Bilderberg Group or the Fortune 500 companies, and we can pick out a whole better group to rap on rather than old Billy Boy himself. Even in that movie, antitrust, where the guy's name was William Stiles. Stile, of course, being another term for gate. That's a kind of farm gate. And the guy's, you know, Bill Stiles, Bill Gates. I mean, the only reason why, I guess, Bill didn't sue the snot out of him was because they actually made reference to Bill and said specifically within the film that it wasn't that guy. I don't think Bill Gates is really the Antichrist. I mean, the guy gets raked over the goddamn coals every day, and I'm sure he's got thick skin because, you know, I mean, he's got all the money in the world. But, you know, so going into this, I'm not a Linux Nazi, okay? I'm not going into this, but this is apparently what was going on. CNET Newscom said, in recent years, been a lot of people clamoring to reform and restrict intellectual property rights. It started with just a few people, but now there's a bunch of advocates saying, we've got to look at patents, we've got to look at copyrights. What's driving this, and do you think intellectual property laws need to be reformed? This is the question to Bill. Bill says, no. I'd say that the world's economics, there's more that believe in intellectual property today than ever. There are fewer communists in the world today than there ever were. There are some new modern-day sort of communists who want to get rid of the incentive for musicians and movie makers and software makers under various guises. They don't think that those incentives should exist. Well, then what's my motivation here? Why am I doing the news show if I'm only doing it for the money? Why do I do in the news show? It must be all the torrid cash that I'm making over here, raining down from the sky. And after, you know, I hang up my microphone here. Or no, I've got people I hire who work for me to do that will hang up my microphone. I'll go jump in my gold-plated Escalade and tool off down to the nearest bar to drink $27 martinis until I fall on the floor. I think that Bill, okay, try to look at this from Bill's perspective. Bill has gone completely mad. The guy's completely lost all touch with reality. How could he not? Think about it. Who's going to talk straight to Bill Gates? Hi, I'm the richest dude on the planet. Everybody's trying to suck your dick. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He can't get a straight answer for anything. You know, hey, do you want an ice cream bar? Do you want me to have an ice cream bar, Mr. Gates? Oh, Jesus. You know, I mean, how does the guy seriously relate to other people? It's got to be really hard. I mean, sure, what, he's got his circle of super rich friends who are also disconnected from reality, and they all, like, hang out and do super rich shit together. And what do super rich people do anyway? What are they all, does he play Quake? Like, I don't know, what does the guy do? I mean, he doesn't work, you know? Does he just go to meeting and plot to take over the earth and, you know, in this constant mad drive? Has he got himself a nice cocaine habit? Like, well, what does Bill Gates do, really? You know, I guess he's married. I hear his wife's hot. But, you know, I before anyone rips on Bill, now this, he's calling people who ain't intellectual. Of course, he's going to have that stance because he's you know, one of the business moguls, and that's what he wants. He's only protecting his own interests. Fair ball. You want to think that way, Bill? That's great. But luckily, Bill is just one guy, and it's up to people like us to restrict the influence that guys like Bill have when they make a really deranged statement like this. And you go, you know, it's art, dude. And even though, you know, programming is very important, and it is important that we buy our music and we buy our software and all that kind of stuff, that these people need to be compensated on some level for the work they do. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for that. But let's not forget that it is, in fact, art. And when you start charging for art, then only people with money can have art, and then we run into the whole problem between, you know, the people with no cash not able to look at art or be around art. It's a very interesting sort of quagmire you kind of wade into there. So I don't really, I think that Bill, you know, that's just one of those funny things. Oh, Bill, you guy, you saying crazy shit like that. I don't know what is going to come of that. I mean, he's being vilified, you know, of course, all the Slashdot Nazis got him, you know, nailed to a cross right now. But, you know, I can't really, I think everybody's making a big deal about nothing, to be honest with you. So, moving on to the segment about Sort Yourself Out, where I give out totally, you know, good or bad advice. I just do the best I can with advice with people, questions that people ask me. And so, I got this email. It says, I have a question for your Sort Yourself Out segment. Okay, then shoot. After years of intermittently, he's using big words. I hate that when people use big words. Intermittently mild and intense struggling, I finally got myself together, end quote, and found the determination to fulfill my potential and tackle the challenges of the world. Finally, having found my willpower, I strove forward and, as a college student, tackled my classes, earned straight A's for the first time since grade school. I even helped found and develop a nonprofit group that helps recycle older computers to get poor kids access to technology. Then, back in September, I just bombed. After getting stuck in a vicious feedback loop, you suck, you can't do this, and you won't, I failed out of a couple of classes and had a shitty, depressed fall semester. I'm feeling better now, and I think I'm ready to get myself back together and make another go of it. So let me ask Sean, how in the hell do I, or how do you, go out and tackle the day and find the willpower to pursue your own ideas and fight your own battles? How do I avoid crashing and burning again? I hope you read at least some of this on the air. I really think you might have some good advice for me. Thanks a lot, man. Hang in there. You truly are the fucking man. And that's from Iridium. Okay. The way I do it is lots and lots of drugs. No, kidding. Here's what we do. Okay, first of all, you got to understand that your brain is a lot like an ass. The donkey, not the buttocks. There's only so much stress you can put on your fucking brain before it decides, whoa, that's it, I'm laying down, and that's all. You can only put so much weight on your mind before your mind goes, nope, no more for me. Now, the problem is, again, getting back to what I said in the beginning of the show, we view failure in our culture as bad. Okay, failure is, you know, this great evil that if we fail at something, it automatically discredits everything we've done. And if we have any success in the future, we will look back on that failure and go, oh, that failure. No. Okay, you mustn't think that way. First of all, you've got to also understand that we as a biological unit have not evolved to the point to handle the technology that we're being, you know, that we're ingesting. Okay, never before in history have young people, especially students and those online, been taxed psychologically as hard as they are being taxed today. As Moore's Law doubles computer technology every 18 months, that technology is organized by who? The market. And how are we bombarded by this? By advertising, of course. Just as the Japanese are the most media-saturated culture on the planet, so do they also have one of the highest suicide rates. That's why they got a chunk of forest over there specifically for the act of killing yourself. Okay? There's a lot of strain. We are in a time right now, before you even, you know, line up and start getting all angry at yourself for your successes or your failures, you must understand that you are living on the very bleeding edge of culture right now. It could be argued that at any point in history you could say that, like back in the 40s when there was all this struggle. We are dealing with technology now where we're getting news from all over the world bombarding us 24 hours a day. Further to that, as evidence, I would present this massive pharmacological nightmare we got going on with the medicated world, with all these kids with ADHD. Where the hell was that when I was growing up? They were just the weird kids who got beat up. And there wasn't that many of them. Now, how many people involved in massive multitasking roles are on medication? We got your Xanax, Zyban, Prozac, what have you, flavor of the month, and you all got brain candy. Everybody's loading out. And we wonder, with this massive load and stress and strain from a culture that is already involved in a depression, a culture that is already media saturated, a culture which has no family connection anymore to draw as a strength unit base, they wonder why, I don't know why, I seem to be getting depressed and falling down. It's because everybody's freaking out, okay? And you're going to see more and more and more of this. You're going to start seeing burnout. You're going to start seeing worker death syndrome like they have in Taiwan. This is going to be happening, and China, and most of Asia. This is what the model was based on. A lot of listeners don't remember when there was a big fear in the 80s of Japan taking over the world and bonsai business tactics, where it was work people as hard as they can, the whole concept of a corporate culture and all that other nonsense. There was a time that if you missed a TV show, it was gone, baby. It was never coming back. There was a time when you never got calls at home because of work. There was a time that you would go to work for 8 hours and then come home, and then you would have your private time and your family time. And if someone from your work happened to phone you at home, the very first words out of their mouth were, "I'm sorry to call you at home." This has all changed with the advent of the cell phone. With the cell phone and with the pager, we now have this digital leash or chain, however you want to call it, which ties us to the workplace. And we have no sort of separation. And even now, you know, in your work and your education, you're now basing your education on what you wish to do for work versus the, you know, the pursuit of knowledge or what have you. This is all, how do I apply this? How do I make money? How do I get ahead? How do I get ahead from everyone else in my class who is also trying really hard? So what we'll do is we'll grade ourselves, and I will take, you know, my various drugs to make sure that I can, you know, stay awake long enough to study. I'll take my vasopressin 10 minutes before my exam so I can recall all the facts, you know, and I got kids doing cocaine and help dates. I mean, this is obviously a very serious symptom. It's not just you. Okay, I understand that when you're looking at this, you're thinking, well, how do I avoid crashing and burning again? Okay, well, I'll give you a few pieces of advice right off the top. Okay, take at least, and you can't restrict this any more than this. Okay, you cannot restrict this any further than you need one 24-hour cycle, and that 24-hour cycle has to be all together. Okay, it's one day. You need one day of downtime per week, guaranteed. And when I mean downtime, I mean you don't talk to anyone. You don't talk to friends. You take a day off. You unplug. You learn how to meditate. You do a data dump. Okay, you've got to be able to unplug. And a lot of people, when they try to do this, they start freaking out, much like some kind of drug addict. If we get cut off from society, we have these jonesing effects, and suddenly we panic, and there's loneliness and agony and angst and all this hell that we go through because we're not connected to our friends and to people, and we're not connected to society. We don't know what we want, and I don't know what I want, so someone tell me what I want. This, of course, is also not by accident. This is also the goal of advertising, so that they can use, you know, the light through technology to influence your mind, so that you're on a very primal level. You have desires that will go for their products. This is they spend billions and billions of dollars to do this. The advertising is deadly to the modern psyche. So, you know, there's a bunch of things you can do to prevent crashing and burning. First of all, the power of association is really good. If you got negative people in your life, get them the hell out of there. And that means I don't care if they've been friends years for 10 years. If they're going nowhere and they're dragging you down, dump them. That's how that works. Second thing, if your family is negative towards you and they're doing things like, oh, you're a useless kid, blah, 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 dump them too. Thanks for bringing me to the planet. I'll check with you again in about 6 months to a year. Okay, see you at Christmas. Bye-bye. I got better things to do with my time. Thirdly, and this one's a little bit harder, but you have to realize you don't need anyone. You don't need anyone. You don't need a single other person. You have to become comfortable with being alone and focusing on yourself. Okay, if you're not able to focus self, because at the end of the day, you were born, you will die. You were born alone. I guarantee you will die alone. There might be a lot of other people dying around you, but you, the act of dying, will occur alone. So you must realize that you are, in fact, alone. Now, I could go off quoting a whole bunch of Thoreau and a bunch of other shit, where we can talk about, you know, where is consciousness located, how much of you can you remove before you're no longer you, and yada, 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 yada. But to avoid crashing and burning, keeping it on topic here, Iridium, I would say you should definitely take at least one day off. You should find something that you enjoy that is not productive, something that wastes time, something that you do to relax. I don't know, video games are probably not a good example. You want to get outside. Go outside, get some air. I would definitely recommend a daily exercise regime. You must make sure your vitamin content, because your brain is an organ just like anything else. Your brain is very, very important. You have to make sure you keep it full of nutrients. Where are we getting our nutrients from? For our, like, how much vitamin B are you actually taking into your system? You know, and there's the Chinese are way ahead of us on this. Okay, they got ginseng, they got ginkgo. Ginkgo biloba is like a 300 million year old tree. It's a prehistoric tree, and they've been using it for years in helping people fight Alzheimer's and things like this. It qualifies almost as a nootropic, this one specific herb that can be purchased at the corner store. But because we don't have, you know, a massive advertising campaign and people making hideous amounts of money, we don't think that these herbs that are available in health food stores are really, you know, good for us or will really help us. Whereas in Europe, you need a prescription to get ginkgo. We, fortunately, we have enough liberty that we can just go to the store and buy some. So I would definitely make sure you've got your daily exercise. And of course, above everything else, if you don't listen to anything else I say, pay strict attention to your diet. Okay, your diet is crucial. If you get diet, exercise, supplement with herbs, and don't skimp on your sleep, I mean, these are all common sense things, but take one day off. That's how you have to operate. And learn how to say no, for Christ's sakes. If people are like, hey, man, we're going to go out drinking Friday night, and you know that you've had a rough week, but I want to go out drinking with the guys and stuff like that, maybe go for a beer or whatever. But if you think you're not going to have the willpower to get out of there, don't do things against your will. Just go home. Get some sleep. Get up the next morning. Spend some time with you. Spend some time focusing on what you think, and you'll be okay. I hope that answers your question. Moving on to the news. Let's see. Let's play some taser ball. Some Utah fans are upset after police responsible for security at the Fiesta Bowl. Now, that just line by itself just makes me, you know, shake my head a whole lot. Police responsible for security at the Fiesta Bowl. Why isn't there security guards in charge of security? Why is the police in charge of security at Fiesta Bowl? Used a 50,000-volt electrical device. It was a 50,000-volt electrical device? What was it, an electrical turbine, or was it a taser? To zap fans trying to storm the field after a win. Now, you can just tell the reporter who wrote this article is completely, you know, a pinhead. Arizona State University spokesman Keith Jennings said the use of weapons was in line with the department's use of force policy. This sentence makes no sense. That policy offers the use of electronic incapacitators. These are called tasers, you fuckwit. Anytime a subject is involved in a physical altercation with an officer. Jennings said two individuals were arrested for scuffling with officers immediately after the game. He told the Salt Lake Tribune he wasn't sure whether either was among the estimated 24 who got shocked by the devices after Utah's 35-7 win over Pittsburgh in the Saturday Fiesta Bowl. The officers used the weapons at the Sun Devil. I love the idea. Weapons. In the Sun Devil Stadium. Weapons at the Sun Devils. In part to protect the goalposts in the field for an NFL game scheduled the following day. Ah, so we're tasering people to make sure we keep the set clear for the next game. Do I agree with this? It was justifiable, he said. They were also trying to protect people. Oh, yeah, absolutely. If they go down to the field and knock that goalpost over, that sort of thing, we're liable if someone gets hurt. We just wanted to force them back into up into the stands. Now, not to get too Blood Bowl on you here, but, you know, where was this 10 years prior? Anyone who tells me that modern team sports do not breed violence, you know, never mind. Let's just love sports. You know, video games kill people. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I feel a lot more comfortable hanging out with a bunch of gamers than I would with a bunch of soccer hooligans. That's just me. But no one ever badmouths the NFL or the fans. You know, when was the last time you saw someone calling down jocks for, you know, date rape or any of the massive legacy of bullying and abuse and torture and disfigurement and injuries, which has been caused by, you know, sport? No one ever calls that down because there's money in sport. And all we got to do is just get the video games making more money, and then eventually no one will be able to talk them down either. So that's all fine if you want to rip on video games and say, oh yeah, video games kill people, but let's just make sure we keep football in there too, where, you know, bone-crunching action is described as a plus. Now, this, do I agree that they should have used the tasers? Yeah, probably. They're a bunch of jocks freaking out on the field. Get back. No, thanks, bye. But you got to understand that, like, look at the entire picture here. What's going on? Why did that occur? Because these fans got so crazy rabid. We won! Destroy everything! Holy default robot BIOS, Batman. Okay, that's the, you go do that, you crazy religious fervor-having freak. Now, on to the next story. A court ruling in America on childbirth. Now, this is an interesting story. A family court judge, who was smart, for the record, last year stirred the debate about parental responsibilities, ordered a second drug-addicted woman to have no more children until she proves she can look after the 7 she already has. The 31-year-old mother, identified in court papers only as Judgette W., but for the purposes of this article, I will call her crack whore, lost custody of her children, ranging in the ages from 8 months to 12 years. In child neglect hearings dating back to 2000, 6 are in foster care at state expense, and 1 lives with an aunt, who hopefully is not a crack whore. The youngest child and 2 others tested positive for cocaine at birth, and all 7 were removed from her care and custody because she could not take care of them. Judge Marilyn O'Connor, good Irish name, said in December 22nd, decision made public on Tuesday, because every child born deserves a mother and a father, or at very least a mother or father, this court is once again taking an unusual step in ordering this biological crackhead to mother to conceive no more children until she reclaims her children from foster care and other caretakers, O'Connor wrote. In a similar ruling last March, O'Connor ordered a drug-addicted homeless mother of four to refrain from bearing children until she run back care of her children. The decision, first of its kind in New York, is being appealed. Now, was the judge right? Of course she was right. The chick's a crackhead, and she's just cranking out kids because she can't keep her legs closed. All right, that's fine. That's fine. But what we have here is a precedent. And the ability for this to be abused. Bear in mind that they're having enforced abortions in China. This is not a woman's right to choose. This is, oh, you're pregnant, you're having an abortion. That's what they're doing in China. So this is not something that I'm going to shoot at, but it's definitely something I'm going to cock the hammer on and look wink at with one eye. So that's something we want to look at for sure. Here's a good one in England. Yes, from that wonderful Gattaca land, the place where the sun is always shining, the beaches are always open, and the women have bad teeth. Mandatory drug testings for kids in England. School begins drug tests on pupils. This is from 5th of January, 2005. A group of pupils today became the first at a state school to undergo random drug testing. Now, there's a lot of things in this story that are disturbing. At least 10 students, at least 10. There could have been 1,000, but it might have been 10. At least 10, what a misleading statement, at the Abbey School in Faversham, Kent, were chosen by computer this morning to initiate controversial procedure. So, let me guess. They asked, everyone outside! And then the computer strolled, in between all the kids and were looking at them. And how old are you, Johnny? You know, eventually the 10 children were touched on the forehead by the long electrode and they were, proceeded to go get drug tested. Headmaster Peter Walker confirmed that the first tests had taken place, but refused to give details on who had been selected. Well, he probably didn't know because they were chosen by random, unless, of course, under the scheme, the students aged between 11 and 19 are taken to the sick room. Danger. The sick room? And given mouth swabs by a specially trained non-teaching staff. Specially trained non-teaching staff. In the sick room. You will go to the sick room and go speak to the specially trained non-teaching staff. This whole thing is really draconian. I'm sorry. It's just freaking me out over here. The samples are then sent off to a laboratory, which is just down the block in Stalag 4, where they will be examined for traces of drugs such as cannabis, cocaine, and ecstasy. Because when you're 11, the ecstasy is flowing freely down there in the fourth grade. The first results should be available in 3 days' time, where the child is held in the sick room and he's not allowed to touch anything or have any human contact and everyone stares at him. No, I'm kidding. I'm making that up. The first test results should be available in 3 days' time. Children who test positive do not necessarily face expulsion. They could be shot or locked in a small metal box in the middle of the schoolyard. Those who deal drugs will. Well, how the hell are you going to tell who's dealing drugs and who's not? Mr. Walker believes it can help prevent young people from falling victim to substance abuse. Yes, and if not substance abuse, it'll definitely keep back the gun towers. Recent research found that almost a third of 11 to 15-year-olds now admit to trying illicit drugs. Mind you, they were on sodium pentothal when they did that. And other schools will be watching carefully to see how this project fares. Well, how it fares is completely regardless because you're taking children in and you're randomly, like, did the parents okay this? Daddy, what's up, little Liam? Well, it's like this, Dad. I got specially selected by the computer to go down and have specifically trained non-teaching staff swab my mouth. Oh, really? I'd be going down to the school and swabbing some mouths myself, let me tell ya. Also, in keeping with keeping, drugs away from people, no matter what age they are, we're going to be talking about how the online pharmacies from Canada are being shut down. Canadian health officials are drafting a proposal to prevent internet pharmacies from selling mail-order prescription drugs to U.S. consumers, a spokesman said Wednesday, a move that would estimately kill a $700 million industry that has become increasingly popular with underinsured patients due in search of cheaper medicine. Underinsured patients. And popular with underinsured patients. That means it's the patient's fault that they are underinsured. What is wrong with these stupid sick people? Don't they understand that they need money in order to... They can't get sick unless they have money in search of cheaper medicine. Cheaper medicine, yeah. The issue has become politically touchy with for President Bush, yeah, because it basically would call to the forefront his war against the poor, whose administration has argued that re-importing U.S.-made drugs from Canada would put consumers at risk, because all us Canadians are actually the guys who are putting the razor blades in the apples, because U.S. regulators could not guarantee their safety. We cannot guarantee your safety. Okay, I'm sorry, go check whose laws are more stringent, the U.S. or Canada. If we sell you the drugs back, they're probably better than the drugs the U.S. is selling, okay? The pharmaceutical industry, which donated heavily to Bush's re-election campaign... Oh, what was that? The pharmaceutical industry, which donated heavily to Bush's re-election campaign... All right. Vehemently imposes re-importing drugs, a practice that undercuts their U.S. sales. Well, of course they're going to vehemently oppose that, because it cuts into their bottom line. Why the pharmaceutical industry could come along and support don't get me started. I mean, the whole representatives of both U.S. and Canada governments say Bush discussed the issue with Prime Minister Paul Martin when he visited last fall. Little Freudian slip there. The conversation went something like this. Oh, hey, Paul. Oh, hey. I like the hockey game. Yeah, I liked it too. Sure are taking a lot of pictures. You bet. So I'll see you at the meeting? Yeah, you bet. That's exactly how those conversations go. They don't talk about anything. And how the hell, you know, I'd love to actually get an actual recording of the discussion. You know, can we actually get the discussions on tape? We got all this technology. Privacy's dead, right? Everyone knows privacy's dead. Why don't we actually hear the conversations that George Bush has with Prime Minister Paul Martin? Or is it just a case of all his underlings talking with the underlings and these figureheads get to parade in front of the camera? Is that what goes on there? That's what sparked accusations that Bush pressured Martin to change Canadian policy, an accusation the White House denies. No kidding, the White House denies it. I mean, to think that the United States could pressure Canada to, you know, get rid of a jet which is better than any other jet that has flown in the time frame and is even advanced by today's standards. Oh, wait, no, we're not talking about that. Okay, how about the missile defense shield? How about that? No, that's a bad idea, too. And how about the water and all our lumber? How about that? Yeah, you know, let's cut the crap. Okay, Paul Martin reports to get orders from George Bush, okay? That's what's going on here. You know, no one's going to... What are we going to do? What are we going to do? No, we don't like you, George Bush, and we don't want to have trade with you. We'll take that as an act of war, and you're all terrorists. Oh, We all go to jail. Why? Because there's enough prison space in the United States to put every Canadian in jail. It's a crime to be Canadian. You know, why not just blame Canada for real? You know, we're trying to sell your sick people cheaper medication. Why do you suppose these people, like, they're all talking about this $1 million and they're losing money and blah, blah, blah. Who gives a shit about the money? These online pharmacies are decreasing suffering. Okay, life is hard enough as it is, but these people don't have money because there's no health care in the United States. Okay, public health care, pardon me. So because of that, a lot of these people can't get medicine. And because they can't get the medicine, they're sick and they're in pain. And they're on a layer of hell that you or I, as healthy people sitting there in front of our computers listening to the internet, can really not understand. I'm all for any policy that decreases suffering. I don't care where the suffering's taking place. I don't care if it's in this country or that country. I don't care what color the person suffering is. I don't care about their economic status. But if one of our Canadian laws is making it possible to decrease suffering in another country, then why don't we just support it? I don't care how much money these Pfizer's losing. I don't give a crap. They're not hurting for bucks. They got commercials about nothing on TV talking about, we're Pfizer. You know somebody who takes our drugs. We're everywhere. And now, consistency is the drug of the New World Order. That's exactly what they're doing. They're running commercials about Jack and shit and Jack left town. Okay, go watch the news. How many drug commercials are on the news? That's some prime commercial time right there, because we're all scared shitless because of terrorism. That's when we're not watching the tsunami. Never mind anything else. Fear and God's trying to kill you. God's trying to kill you. Terrorist fear. Nature is horrible. We must burn the forests. Fear and terrorism. Terrorism and fear. Oh, and sports. Sports, terrorism, and fear. And war and sports and terrorism. Fear, war. War, sports, terrorism. Sport, is a terrorism. Terrorism is a sport and use of war, and we're all afraid of it. That is exactly what's coming through the media. But we're all forgetting that there are people who are very sick, who have no money, because these are the victims. These are the people who've been, you know, washed out of the system. These are the people like Iridium, like me, who have been stepped on and through no fault of their own, or maybe it was some of the fault of their own, whatever. They fell down. They did something and they fell down. Maybe they fell down biologically. Maybe it's a software problem. Maybe it's a hardware problem. But the fact remains that these people are suffering. And we want to protect the bottom line, to protect the bottom dollar of an already massive core political state. We're going to, you know, let these people suffer? No, I don't think so. If it was up to me, I'd be smuggling, you know, medication down to people in the United States who, you know, need it. Never mind that we can actually sell it, thank goodness, to server, and we were able to, you know, communicate with these people. So before we get all tied up on who's making money with what and who's doing what with whom, let's just remember there are real people suffering that don't have the money to get medication, and we should get medication to these people. If you want to shut it off and not sell the drugs to the people on the internet, that's fine. Go ahead, but you better provide an alternative option so these people can get some help for the things that they need. Now, conversely to that, let's talk about bioweapons. I found a great, great article on defense tech, and where they were talking about bioweapons. Now, these are interesting because these are considered to be kind of non-lethal. Check this out. There's a website called the Sunshine Project, which is a watchdog on bioweapons. And this will really show you the mentality, okay, of the tactical military mind and what's going on at the Pentagon in the United States. Check this out. Instead of using guns and bombs, let's attack the enemies of freedoms with bugs, rats, and horny gay men. This is a direct quote now, okay? I'm not making this up. This seems to be the sentiment between a 1994, now granted it's 11 years old, Air Force proposal unearthed by bioweapons watchers at the Sunshine Project. The document, entitled Harassing, Annoying, and Bad Guy Identification Chemicals, strings together a couple of ideas for non-lethal agents that could mark an opponent, temporarily change his behavior, or attract annoying creatures to an enemy's position. Were any of these proposals ever approved? I doubt it. But boy, do I love the idea of the Pentagon program managers dreaming of ways to use sex-attractant chemicals for bugs as weapons, or employing sting/attack me chemicals to cause bees to attack. Such an agent would be effective for infiltration routes, the paper observes. Now, this is from 1994, and while we're all sitting back and giggling at the notion of people being stung by bees, this is a very real tool that could be used, and they obviously have the technology, because 10 years ago they're talking about the proposals to do this. What if they deployed this along the borders and just didn't bother to tell anyone in the interest of public security? Rodents and larger animals would also be candidates to be drawn to enemy positions. Why not pit bulls? According to the proposal, so would other stinging and biting bugs. But as irritating a swarm of bees and rats may be, it's nothing compared to the distraction generated by a man in heat. Apparently, they've got these aphrodisiacs that turn soldiers into screamingly flaming, just absolutely uber-horny Greco-Roman wrestling gay men. No wonder, then, the Air Force document calls for chemicals that affect human behavior so that discipline and morale in enemy units would be adversely effective. These people need to do some research on the Lambdas. The Lambdas were a Roman legion of only gay men. There are only gay men in the Lambdas, okay? And they had the highest kill ratio of any of the legions, okay? If all the soldiers are in love with each other, are they going to fight harder or less harder to protect the people they care about? But that's a whole other story. One distasteful but completely non-lethal example would be a strong aphrodisiac, especially if the chemical causes homosexual behavior. This is from the article. The chemical causes homosexual behavior. Apparently, being a homosexual is some kind of weird, abhorrent weapon. You know, because wouldn't be very good against the Turks, because they nail each other in the keister in the trenches all the time for shits and giggles. But, I'm all for that. They just don't seem to, you know, I'm imagining that, you know, the enemy is, you know, freaking out and having anal sex or whatever. Who thought this order up? I mean, this is wacko. If for some reason military scientists could come up with an effective sprayable Spanish fly, well, there are still other possibilities to be explored. For example, a low toxicity compound that creates severe and lasting halitosis. which is bad breath. There's more. As if sprays to induce homosexual dalliances and rat attacks were not problematic enough, in 1997, the Army let loose a proposal called Preparation for an Odor Index to match known disagreeable odors to specific culture, political, religious group, or geographic region. That's suddenly no longer funny. People who are foreign smell bad. Okay, this is nuts. The work looks lovingly back on a 1944 project called Who Me? That gave French resistance fighters lead foil tubes packed with chemicals that produce a fecal odor, so they give them these tubes that smell like shit. But the plan backfired, this document notes, when it was found that people in many of the areas of the world did not find the fecal odor to be offensive. Don't eat poop. It's one of a number of Pentagon brainstorms trying to target certain ethnic or geographic groups with non-lethal chemical weapons. This story is priceless, really. I'm all for the development of gay aphrodisiac weapons. I think that's a brilliant, brilliant idea. Simply because think of the terrorist applications. I mean, wow, let's go to the stock exchange and just firebomb everyone in there with this massive homosexual aphrodisiac. You know, not to mention if any of these chemicals got out on military bases. I mean, the camouflage would definitely start looking a lot more interesting, I'll tell you that. If it could be proven that they have, you know, some sort of a chemical that would make people, you know, any blood-drinking, you know, gut-chewing marine into a, you know, brain-stomping, gut-chewing gay man, you know, probably maybe little zipper masks and everything, that would be cool. I'd be all for that. I want to see this drug because, wow, never mind, you know, Provigil or, what's that one? Viagra, that, you know, never mind any of that. Let's get Viagra so that not only you want to mix that with Viagra, so not only are they horny, but they can keep it up for hours at a time. Now, I got a new story here off the wire about satanic murders. I just love stories about satanic murders, you know, because they're just so, you know, crazy. The Beasts of Satan. Wow, what's their recruiting poster like? A gang of misguided youths from Milan. Well, they don't seem to be too misguided. They seem to be the Beasts of Satan. Dance in a forest. Their feet treading heavily on the makeshift grave of two friends they have just brutally murdered. Well, then they're not really friends, are they? Because one does not brutally murder friends. The nearby town of Geneva, three teenage girls decided to stab and beat a nun to death as part of a macabre satanic rite. Okay. We were bored and wanted to do something different, one of the girls later tells police. Okay, I hereby call bullshit on this article, but I'm going to include the post because I think it's really quite funny. In these recent episodes, I've shocked an entire Italian nation, not the least experienced magistrates who called in to investigate. But as far as the Roman Catholic Church is concerned, they're merely a visible tip of profane pyramid, which seem... Oh, good one. Yeah, I like that. The tip of a profane pyramid, which sees its base, millions of superstitious, gullible, and ultimately desperate people who seek to put themselves out of miseries by resorting to Satanism, witchcraft, and the world of the occult. Because, of course, witchcraft is the same as Satanism. Oh, wait, it's not. And the word occult just means hidden, so the hidden world. So the hidden world could be construed as the internet, and never mind. To help deal with what it sees as an increasingly disturbing phenomenon, the Pope's Regina Apostolorum University is now offering students a course in Satanism and exorcism. Sign me up for that, baby! Set to begin in February, the course is directed at novices and trainee priests attending the Rome-based Catholic University, with lecturers on a variety of subjects from demonology to witchcraft, from applied exorcism to canon law. That would be the code of canon law, the Roman, not you know, how to load and fire discipline, nothing like that. And the occult. The course aims to inform priests on everything related to the Prince of Darkness. That's fantastic. And people wonder where I get my ideas for stories and horror shows. Like, look at this. You can't even write that. And I am so sure that after two satanic chicks go smack the shit out of some nun in Italy and stab her a bunch of times, when the cops ask them, they say, oh, we just wanted to do something different. Good God. You know? This is just... Oh, I love stories like this. You know, I know. I shouldn't be coming to you with this Weekly World News stuff. But, you know, just sometimes I just wish some of it was true. You know, like, what if there really were velociraptors that same unleashed upon the people in Kuwait? Wouldn't that be great? Imagine that, all those Marines driving around in the desert with Humvees blowing away velociraptors. It'd be great, you know, wishful thinking. I can't be all bad all the time. But unfortunately, it is all bad all the time, because back to reality, anyone ever read the book Snow Crash? The bad guy in Snow Crash was a dude who had his homeland destroyed in Siberia. It was a specific tribe of Russian Inuit, essentially, that his homeland was destroyed due to nuke testing. But check this out. A nation is now demanding a right to exist because we are destroying the very land they live on. The Inuit, people of the Arctic, have launched a dramatic legal action against America. The charge? That U.S. emissions of greenhouse gases have made their very survival impossible. Their ancient way of life is an unprecedented peril. Well, obviously, if in Alaska pipelines are starting to fall through the ground, that's not going to be very good. It's horrible that they're losing their homeland. The very land is melting beneath their feet. Even the endless night of the Arctic winter, which should be one of nature's most immutable constants, may be changing. It too appears to be falling victim of abrupt warming and global climate, which is almost everyone on Earth. Almost everywhere on Earth, apart from the government of the United States, believes it is exacerbated by the polluting industries of the modern world. Of course, this is going to go nowhere, because the core political is in charge. And, of course, just to make sure, you remember the Geneva Convention, you know, that little document that says that it's not okay to torture people or anything like that? You remember that? Well, according to Alberto Gonzalez, who is one of the House counselors to the White House, he seems to think that torture is okay. He's argued that in the war on terror, quote, renders obsolete Geneva's strict limitations on questioning of enemy prisoners and renders quaint some of its provisions. It renders some of the provisions of the Geneva Convention quaint. That's according to Alberto Gonzalez. And this guy is slated to, he's a counselor at the White House. And I think they're talking about making him into taking Ashcroft's position. I'm not too sure on that. I'll have to check back in. But he's not going nowhere. The guy's going somewhere. And he thinks that the Geneva Convention is quaint. What an insane notion. You've got to understand that the Geneva Convention was put in place to stop the Nazis, and now, you know, they're calling it quaint? I don't think so. Further in the monstrosities of modern science, we have in the rat brains killing people. University of Florida professor Thomas DeMars revealed in December that he has constructed a primitive brain, live computation device, he calls it. Not really, we don't want to call that. Out of 25,000 rat neurons, he has taught to maneuver an F-22 jet simulation in a straight trajectory. So the rats can fly the jet straight. The brain had to be taught, he said, because at first the plane kept crashing. DeMars said an organic brain is potentially much more flexible than even the highest tech computer. We're talking about wet wiring brains into the tech here. That's then becomes a cyborg, doesn't it? The National Science Foundation and National Institute of Health are funding his work. The National Institutes of Health are funding his work, making brains for jets to make bombs. National Institutes of Health. As models for controlled, otherwise risky, unmanned aircraft for developing epilepsy fighting drugs. I'm sorry, if I was a rat, you put me in a wheel for a whole bunch of time and I got hold of an F-22, there'd be some really big pain raining down on you from on high. This story was sent to me from Dognuts in Warsaw, Poland, which is really cool. I like getting mail from overseas. If anyone is, you know, not on continent, I'd like to know where you're getting at me from. Even if you're on continent, what the hell? Get back to me on where you're from. It makes my life just that little bit better. And I'm out of time. That's all I got for you today. But don't worry, Sim and I will be back on Monday, January 10th, to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast. You can do anything you want with it. You can remix it. You can dance to it. You can do what you want. You can give it to friends. That's okay with me. And it's brought to you by the generous donations of Adam, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, another Peter, Michael, Timor, Aaron, Greg, SB, Richard, Weblife, Matt, Azier, Evan, Drake, Brian, Ashton, David, Austin, Jonathan, Adam, Jonathan, Trevor, named after my car, Mark, Art, Matthew, Kyle, Justin, Matthew again, and thank you so much. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca. And special thanks to the reporters, the Arm Commander, Jijin Machina, Organic Angel Alexa, Forgotten Node, Pig Monkey, who sent me up some killer info streams, and Dognuts in Warsaw, Poland. And for the assistance in gathering data, if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up another Infected Mushroom album. I love these guys. Goa Psytrance is the music of the future. And the album is called I'm the Supervisor. I'm going to leave you right now with track 5 from KMFDM's album Extort, suitably named Dogma. Until tomorrow, well, until Monday anyway, that's what Server said. End of line.
All we want is a head rush. All we want is to get out of our skin for a while. We have nothing to lose because we don't have anything. Anything we want anyway. We used to hate people. Now we just make fun of them. It's more effective that way. We don't live, we just scratch on day to day with nothing but matchbooks and sarcasm in our pockets, and all we're waiting for is for something worth waiting for. Let's admit America gets the celebrities we deserve. Let's stop saying don't quote me, because if no one quotes you, you probably haven't said a thing worth saying. Something to kill the pain of all that nothing inside. We all just want to die a little bit. We fear that pop culture is the only kind of culture we're ever gonna have. We want to stop reading magazines, stop watching TV, stop caring about Hollywood, but we're addicted to the things we hate. We don't run Washington, and no one really does. Ask not what you can do for your country, ask what your country did to you. The only reason you're still alive is because someone has decided to let you live. And rich and happy, but you're terrified. You have nothing to offer this world, nothing to say, and no way to say it. But you can say it in 3 languages. You are more than the sum of what you consume. Desire is not an occupation. You are ultimately thrilled and desperate, sky high and fucked. Let's stop praying for someone to save us and start saving ourselves. Let's stop this and start over. Let's go out. Let's keep going. This is your life. This is your fucking life. We need something to kill the pain.